You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Hey, last chance for announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this day, that we can remember, Lord, the sacrifice that has gone on before us, Lord, and for our possible sacrifice in this life in various different ways, that we might use our knowledge of thy will to make good decisions. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, today I wanted to take a little path off what we're doing in the book of Revelation, since tomorrow is Memorial Day, and to refresh our memory about some of the great things that have happened in the past and some of the terrible things that have happened in the past, and to learn from the scriptures how we can more effectively serve God in the right way and using sacrifice in the right kind of way. So if you look at this business of memorials are interesting because, as the scriptures point out, they relate to a memory. They are used to bring out a memory of something that's gone on. And basically, Memorial Day started off with this Grand Army of the Republic, which was actually a Yankee thing, where they remembered the fallen Union troops. But since then, various holidays in the South and around the country have been assimilated into this holiday, which we call Memorial Day, and we remember fallen troops and service men and women from various factions that have died. And it is a tremendous sacrifice when you think about some of the wars. And of course, there's many wars that have gone on. The War of Independence, the war between the states. You notice that I don't call it the Civil War, which I think there is a big assumption in the idea of a civil war, which people get wrong. But here, World War I, the war to end all wars, and then not long after that came World War II. Massive loss of life. And there's no doubt going to be more wars coming and more sacrifices that people will have to consider and have to think about making. Now, some of you've got children and they're grown up and they've come to that point in their life where they're going to be making their own decisions about what they're going to do. But I don't know about you, but I'm not too happy about some of the wars that have gone on. Meaning, would I be happy, for example, that I allow or put my blessing on my son being conscripted and taken off to some war in the Middle East or somewhere? Would I be happy with that occurring, given some of the roundabout nonsense decisions and ideas which have been promoted? I don't think I'm going to be too happy with that idea, to be quite honest with you. I'm not going to be too happy with that idea. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to look up, and by the way, I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't have gone to World War II, for example. I think we should have gone to World War II. And as much as I would hate to see my son go off to World War II, I would have given my blessing to it, given the situations, many of the situations that occurred, especially from the part of the world that I was in, living. And so, you know, some of these wars, I hate them, but man, they've just got to be fought. You have to, otherwise you're going to be overrun and your freedoms will go. And they're terrible things, and they happen. If you look at this word sacrifice, because right at the heart of this is this idea of sacrifice. And it comes from this word, thusia. Thusia in the New Testament, sacrifice. You'll notice where it really starts to hit the fan is in the book of Hebrews. We've read in chapter 13. And it's really right up here. I mean, it's quite obvious that the frequency count here just brings your eye to it. The book of Hebrews. And that makes sense too, because it was the Hebrews, the priestly nation, who were given this business of serving in the tabernacle. This great sacrificial system that was there, and all the typology that you find behind it. But the first occurrence is kind of interesting. I like the first and the last occurrence to get some idea of how things start up in the scriptures. And if you go to the first occurrence, which is in Matthew 9, let's just go there, because I think this is what really starts to make me think about sacrifice. Matthew 9 and 13. That's where I want to read. We'll read from verse 10 to get some context. Matthew 9 and verse 10. It says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Good old Pharisees, man. They really let you know where their heart is. "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Well, that's right. "But go ye and learn that what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. "But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Wow! "I will have mercy and not sacrifice." And then he goes on, and he says this in verse 14. "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but the disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." Well, here this brings up this whole notion of sacrifice. And the sacrifice was supposed to be done on the basis of knowledge. It was not supposed to be something that was just done as a mere procedure of religion. It was not done as simply a mere statement of some religious organization, but rather people were to come to this with understanding. Let me emphasize this, because this whole idea which Jesus brings up comes from the Old Testament, and it actually comes from the book of Hosea. Hosea, and let's read from chapter 6. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1. "Come and let us return unto the Lord." Now let's get this context, because we're going to learn a lot about what it means to be involved with sacrifice. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up. Do you think that all these 3 days and three nights are just an accident in the scripture? Everything in this book is fit together according to a purpose. There's a purpose that goes on in the words here. 3 days. He will raise us up. And it says, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, verse 3, if we follow on to know. Look at the emphasis on know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain and former rain unto the earth. The rain brings this refreshing growth. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as a morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. Well, the dew comes, right? It's got a little bit of refreshment, but as soon as the sun hits it, poof, just vaporizes. Therefore hath I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments as the light that goeth forth. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than the burnt offerings. Here is my takeaway, right? I believe in war when war is the only way we can do things, when it's the right thing to do. But knowledge must come first. You're not to be a robot. Have you seen these historical movies about what happened with the British? The British were some of the worst at this. They would have these upper class gentlemen who had no brain at all. There was nothing up here, man, but they had the apple in the throat. Oh, yeah, put some stuff in there. Stuff were human beings. Put some stuff in there. And what they would do is they would give these ridiculous orders, whereby thousands of men were just marched into a machine gun nest. You know, they could see it all. They could see what was going to happen. They gave these ridiculous orders whereby men would march to their death in a complete waste. You know, just a complete waste because of ridiculous orders. I think that's ridiculous and stupid and a waste, and it's not God-honoring at all. You can say, well, you know, I'm going to die for country. Yeah, you're going to die for country for doing what? And what have you achieved by obeying the order of a idiot? You know what I'm saying? Now, I hate to be straight with this in some ways, because I'm not trying to put down the sacrifice of men and women of the past. I'm not. I'm here enjoying the good life in many respects because of sacrifice that's gone on before. But I'm trying to be honest with you about my own son and perhaps a conscription that would come on him to go to some ridiculous war which has no true foundation in righteousness at all. It's got nothing to do with us at all. It's got nothing to do with the security of this country or the imminent danger of this country. It's got to do with someone else's doings, you know? And yet, he gets told, now you've got to go over there and follow some ridiculous order and die. For what? You know? I think that's pathetic. I see in the scriptures, at least, a very important idea that God has put in here that sacrifice, yeah, that's a good thing, but it must come after knowledge. Knowledge must come first. And God wants us to know him first of all. That's important. Okay, going back to the Bible once more. Go to the Romans. So this is another neat passage that we can look at. And I'm not going to go through all these passages, but I want to look at this Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Which is a famous passage, and we all probably know this. As soon as we look at it, we'll recognize it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Yep. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is, now look at this, your reasonable service. Reason. It's based upon reason, man. Reason. And let's now take that biblical idea and expand that principle to perhaps in context of a nation. We have to have a reasonable service, right? Based upon what the forefathers have set up, which was based upon many biblical principles of the Constitution. And we need to make decisions which are reasonable based upon those principles, not on the principles of some kingdom or king or dictator or some other trendy lefty whatever. You know what I'm saying? We need to base our decisions on reason. Reason. It's our reasonable service. God wants us to come to Him on that basis. He wants our lives to conform to a sacrifice, but it's a reasonable service. In this age, aren't we supposed to bring forth reason? We have reasonable service because we rightly divide the word of truth. We're not going to take off someone else's ideas and dispensation, someone else's oikonomos, someone else's household rules, and try and take them to ourselves today when they don't apply. That's why we rightly divide the word of truth. That's why we're different here. We're different because we are reasonable. We want to use this. We believe in Christianity, which has its brain intact. Right? We're not apologizing for this at all. No, we will not. It's our reasonable service that we are interested in. Going across now to the book of Ephesians, and when we jump to the book of Ephesians, now we're jumping into a time period which is certainly addressed to us, Paul the prisoner, he is the one that gives to us and dispenses to us in this age God's rules and his doctrines and teachings which are appropriate for this age. He says this in Ephesians 5. And verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. A sweet-smelling savor. You know, there's a lot of sacrifices around, and I can tell you right now, they stink. They do not have a sweet smell to them at all. No, they do not. So you have this euodious, you can almost see our word odor in there, euodious. But here's the eu in the front, well, or good, a good smell. It's a good smell, man. And if you rightly divide the word of truth, then you take Christ's example as he gave himself a sacrifice for others, and you adorn this with the doctrine of God, which is given to us through right division, so we can give a nice smelling sacrifice, one which is based upon the knowledge which is given to us. Here's another one. This is in the book of Philippians. Have a look at this. This is Ephesians and then Philippians chapter 2. And verse 17. We'll read from verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Because that's the possibility, right? If you don't rightly divide the word of truth, then it's quite possible for you to live a Christian life. Yeah, Christian, I'm putting it in inverted commas. But it's not one which has been truly fruitful. It has not been one which has been in conjunction with the will of God. It's been in vain. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. the sacrifice and service of your faith. And that's how Paul lived his life, in the sacrifice and service of others, putting others before self, taking Christ's example. But how do you do that? Will you do absolutely anything for someone else? Will you go about a life and a sacrifice which brings forth a bad odor? No, you will not do that. You'll say, no, sorry, won't do that. You want me to do that, but that's false. You want me to speak in tongues. You want me to be water baptized as some sort of example to somebody. Sorry, can't do that. Will not do that. I have been given doctrine from my Lord to tell me that's wrong, and I won't be involved with that. Because I want to bring forth a sweet-smelling sacrifice, an odor in God's nostrils, not necessarily a man's. Man may puke at it, may not like it. Tough. Too bad. We, first of all, are going to serve God. That's our responsibility. If you go right across to the last place where sacrifice is used in the New Testament, thusia, right, that's the word, in 1 Peter and 2:5, it's very interesting. It says this: ye also, as lively stones. Well, just go back up one verse. It says in verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as living stones, are built upon a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Oh, now wait a minute. So why am I showing you this? Because what you see here is that whole business of right division. Right? Right division is coming up here. And right division is basically putting things in order and then accepting those things that which are to us and allowing others to receive their doctrine in their right time and place. Right division is really just putting things in order. Now, Peter was a minister of the circumcision. You notice it says here in verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. We can gain applications from this, can't we? We can get principles from this. But when we are interested in rock-hard doctrine, look what it says. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him which hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. But are now the people of God. Yeah, when this was written, Israel was indeed taken as the people of God, the holy nation, right there and then. Now, if you want to take exact, precise doctrine from this age, when the people have been organized, when the people have been given their marching orders and identified, then that's going to be your mistake. Look what he says. Down here, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the souls. Having your conversation, now look at this, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Whoever he's talking to non-Gentiles, right? So why will you make yourself a part, as a Gentile, of the group that he is addressing when he says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles? He's talking to the Jews, right? That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Okay, so he's talking to the Jews and he's reminding them of their responsibilities as a holy priesthood to bring about a service which would be well pleasing, a sacrifice which would please God and specifically affect the Gentiles in the right way. Very different. Okay, cool. Okay, I get that. Right, the vision is there. I want you to go to the book of Hebrews now. Find the book of Hebrews in chapter 13. Let's get this straight out. I'm talking about bringing forth reasonable service. Reasonable service can only be got by reason. And reason for us comes chiefly through this principle of right division. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 13. And, well, let's read from verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertain angels unawares. Whammo, man! Angels! Right there! You know that the book of Revelation is full and filled with angels. During the book of Acts, angels. Angelic activity in relationship to Israel. We see it here too. And then as you go down a little bit further, and when you come to verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Okay, so these people, they serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Here there are people that go about a service. They are involved with sacrificial things to do with this tabernacle, this sanctuary. Then it says, verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify who? The people. The people. That's Israel. With his own blood suffered without the gate. Without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Man, these Hebrews have really got a lesson about sacrifice. They are supposed to understand truly the true sacrifice. They are to come to God on the basis of truth and knowledge of who Christ is. And that would mean, therefore, going outside the camp, leaving their religious nonsense, and going towards the truth of Jesus outside the camp. Well, there's lots of things going on here. One is the right division of the Scriptures, certainly. But there's also a principle that we can get to. And that is, we need to accept that we don't care whether we're seen to be outside the camp. We don't care whether people see us outside the camp. Because we're going outside the camp to Christ. That's where we're going. And we're going to get fed at the right time, the right season, by the Lord, as he passes knowledge on to us through Paul the prisoner, man. Right division. Sacrifice, yes, but reasonable, knowledgeful, understanding the will of God. That's what we want. Man, do we respect sacrifice? We sure do. But what we want is knowledgeable sacrifice. We want reasonable service. And that's why we've got Northside Bible Church, man. Because of that reason. Reason. That's what we want. We want knowledge from his word. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time, Lord. We think of all those men and women who have died, Lord, so that we could enjoy the liberty here in America. We pray that we would never forget those things. And Lord, we look to the future. We ask, Lord, that we would be able to inform people about the goodness and the Constitution, Lord, and the things that would affect this nation for righteousness. And most of all, Lord, that you'd use us to bring thy holy word to people around us, that they would see in our lives this reasonable service. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.